Hello again, witches, seekers, and friends, and welcome to the Fat Feminist Witch Podcast, the show where we do a little ranting, raving, and wand waving. I'm your host, Paige, and together we are going to explore magic and spirituality, social justice, the psychic realm, the natural world, and most importantly, empowering kids with magic. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. This episode will be slightly different than what you're used to, and that's because today's show is family-friendly, and the author I'm talking to wrote a book specifically for kids. So there won't be any swear words or bitter speeches on this episode. Instead, my guest and I will be sharing ways to explore magic and spirituality as a family, and we'll be taking some music breaks so you guys can jam out or sing along, get up and shake your limbs and dance, or just, you know, share your thoughts on the episode. If you've never listened to the show before, and especially if you're a kid or teen listening with your older sisters or your parents or your older cousins or friends, hi, welcome to the show. I'm Paige, but many people know me as the Fat Feminist Witch. You might be thinking, whoa, those are not the nicest words someone could use to describe themselves. And one or all of them might be a bit scary. But I use them to show people that it is okay to be themselves in whatever way they choose. In fact, it's more than okay. It's very, very magical. I'm so excited to have you here today with me and to share this magic with all of you. Today's special guest is Nikki Vandekar, the author of Wellness Witch and a new book called The Junior Witch's Handbook, a kid's guide to white magic, spells, and rituals, all about empowering young people through real magic and witchcraft. The book comes out on June 2nd. We'll be talking about her books, of course, but we also talk about her own family, her kids, and the ways that they make magic together. I loved the book. Even as an adult with no kids who shares her home with no one but a kitty cat and a fish, I learned a lot and even found magic spells and rituals that I would do for myself to make me feel strong, to keep me connected with my friends, or to help me and my little family get along better. So even though it's recommended for ages 8 to 12, I'm much older than 12, and I think anyone can truly enjoy the magic contained in its pages. Since this is an episode all about kids and their magic, I also enlisted some other guests to really help me get the message out. A couple of fairies. Say hello to all the junior witches out there, come on! Now, when it comes to fairies, no one sees, hears, or understands them better than kids. It really is one thing about growing up that's a real bummer. So when you hear them twinkling, singing, or flying around throughout the episode, pay some extra attention. Your parents or the older people you're listening with probably won't understand a word they're saying. You might have to translate it for them. So tell them what you hear, and what messages the fairies have for you if you like. Or you can keep that secret and let the fairies guide you towards a life of magic. The choice is yours. So let's get Nikki out here now to share some wisdom from the Junior Witch's Handbook. I hope you really like it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nikki. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Hi, Paige. I'm excited to be here.
Nikki is the author of, well, today we are talking about the Junior Witch's Handbook, but she is also the author of Practical Magic and Wellness Witch, which I will also be reviewing on the show at later time. So stay tuned. I'm pretty excited to have you here.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's been a busy couple years.
What? It's good stuff. So it's really good stuff. So that's a good thing. I really loved the Junior Witch's Handbook. You know, oh, I'm not a kid and I don't have kids, but I thought it was really great.
Well, I wrote it for two people. I wrote it for my daughter, who's 10 and a little witch herself, but also for myself back at that age when it was a book that I would have wanted, because the idea behind it was not just about how to create, you know, how to create your own practice as a child and to lean into that and to feel empowered and, you know, all the good things that come with being a witch, but also to navigate how to kind of create a coven, you know, how to find like-minded friends and and do this kind of work and play together.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was reading it, that it definitely would have been something I would have loved to find at this age. I really, some of the books that I read when I was younger that were written for a younger age group were just, they were sugar-coated. You know, it went beyond being appropriate for the age to something that didn't seem very real or practical. Mm-hmm. And with your book, like, this is a real book on real magic and witchcraft. It just happens to be family and kid-friendly.
Yeah.
And I think you did a really great job with that.
Well, there's nothing different. At first, writing the book was kind of a challenge in that way, where I'm going, I don't know, I'm saying the same stuff that I would say to an adult.
Like, yeah.
it's still magic, just because you're younger. So I tried to have it be like, what kind of magic would kids be interested in? And for that, I was lucky to have my daughter. She actually helped me come up with like the table of contents, what she would want to explore. There weren't enough unicorns in it, but other than that.
That's awesome. I was actually going to ask if you had kids. Do you guys do magic stuff together? Like, do you guys practice together?
We do. I would say that the majority of my practice is with her. Cool. There are some, you know, if I'm working on some, you know, shadow work or something like that, you know, I'm probably going to want to do that on my own. but I don't need to get into that with her. But
right.
When, you know, but the majority of my practice is nature-based.
Yeah.
And with that, she's all in. So, you know, we do a lot of crafting. A lot of my practice is based around making things. I just really like to make things. So whether that's cooking or, you know, remedies or crafting a lot of the time, that's our practice, and she is 100% down with all of that. More often than, you know, she's actually more of a practicing witch than I am, because I'll be like, all right, I'm good for a while, and she's right. Got a whole potions lab up in her treehouse up there that working away at. Yeah.
Wow, that's the cutest, like, mental image. She's got all that youthful enthusiasm, right? And it's just bursting out. That is fantastic. I love that. I just think that's so sweet. And I love thinking of young witches this age, you know, 8 to 12. A lot of what you see about witches these days is really marketed towards, you know, in your 20s and up. People mm-hmm. my age, a little bit younger now, but and even a little bit older. So it's exciting to see real witchcraft for kids and see how creative they can get with it. It's a very crafty and creative book.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised you guys spend a lot of time doing that.
Well, and it's actually something that's really shifted recently, because I was interested in exploring writing for this audience, actually older, like teenagers. And this wasn't even that long ago, and there was some concern that their parents would be like, oh no, you know, witchcraft, you know, dot, 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 devil worship, dot, 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 drugs, dot, dot, you know, whatever. Like, it's the gateway to all bad things. And so, you know, I didn't end up doing it. And that was really not that long ago. And then there's been this kind of process of understanding that's not really what we mean by witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, now that it's more out in the open, people can see how, you know, pretty much how tame it is.
Right.
How, you know, just creative and empowering it is, how personal it is. It's not anything like what a lot of people think.
No, not at all. And it's funny, because that's something I wanted to sort of address in the Junior Witch too, because your kids are going to run into that. I mean, we run into that as adults. My parts of my family are very concerned about me and therefore also very concerned about my daughter, but she runs into it, you know, with kids too, you know,
yeah.
And there's still this perception And how do you navigate that? It's tricky enough as an adult.
Right. Yeah. So have you been a practicing witch like her entire life?
Nearly, actually. So interestingly, my first book, Practical Magic, I wasn't really a practicing witch when I wrote that. I kind of frame it as, you know, it's for the Wicca curious.
Yeah.
And that was definitely me when I wrote it. But in the process of writing it, I kind of got back to the person I was when I was my daughter's age. And what I'd been interested in and what magic meant to me back then. And I realized that that's not different now, that I'd moved away from it, but actually I still feel that way.
Yeah.
And that was an incredibly eye-opening experience. And I realized that I want to live that way. And why not? So I started exploring more of that, you know, just what is my, I got to decide what my practice was going to be and have some intention around it. And so, yeah, for the most part, I've been practicing for as long as she's kind of been aware.
Did you guys ever have to have, you know, a talk about it to explain? How did she start getting interested in your witch? Like, how did you start to share that with her?
Actually, the way, the gateway for me was pagan holidays. I love
holidays
that.
Are the best. Kids and kids love holidays, right? Exactly. They don't care what it is. They love a holiday.
And I think we had a solstice celebration and she was like, this is the best. And then we started, you know, doing more of them. And yeah, some of them mean more to me than others. You know, we definitely emphasize the winter solstice and Baal Tina and Mabin, actually, I love. There are some where I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. Sorry. We didn't do it this year. that was the beginning of trying to like live in harmony with the cycles of the earth, which is what I love about those holidays. And they're different, you know, symbolic meanings and they're the different rituals that come along with them. And so once we started doing that, we started exploring other things and making remedies is my favorite part, I think. Yeah. And so that, you know, and that's really crafty. She tends to be like, we're done already, because they're not that hard.
I expected a little more.
What, we melted some stuff and then we added some essential oils. That's it.
Where's all the fun magic? Actually, something else I liked about the book is that, like I said, the language was really like, I don't know if sophisticated is the right word, but it was all the right words. You know, you were using real words like divination. And I like that you have gree-gree in there. And I loved that. But it still had this really magical element to it that made it very like exciting. Like it really allowed kids to kind of loop in that fun from like fantasy magic
with
something real.
Yeah.
Which is what made me want to explore witchcraft in the first place.
That's what witchcraft is for me. It's when, you know, you're a kid and witchcraft seems super cool with, you know, wands and lots of people, you know, use wands like sparks shooting out of your fingers and that kind of thing. And, you know, I've not managed to achieve that. But
one day I keep holding out hope.
One day. But then, you know, they realize, oh, there is this other magic that is real.
Yeah.
And I get to do that. You know, and as far as the language, I don't see any point in dumbing down language for kids ever.
Yeah. I totally agree. It was very refreshing.
Yeah.
it was just very refreshing. Like, I can imagine being a kid and feeling very, feeling like I'm getting a proper education about it, like feeling like I'm really prepared.
Yeah.
So I really noticed that. I don't know what I expected. but I was a little bit blown away by just like how much I as an adult got from the book, how much I liked about it. You know, I learned some things. I bookmarked some pages because there's some little spells and rituals that I think are cool and I'm just gonna do.
Yeah.
I really love the Home Guardian. That is such a great little ritual, and creating your own oracle deck.
Yeah, that's
Super
what I
cool.
need to do.
Yeah.
The Home
Especially.
Guardian, we actually have
Sorry, go
one.
ahead.
Oh no, the Home Guardian, we have one. So that was just a fun thing to do. Like we just
Yeah.
when we moved into our home, there's this really big sculpture that kind of came with the house. And
Yeah.
we at first we were like, all right, I'm not sure that's necessarily our style, but then we kind of got to know him. And he just kind of stands and looks serious. And he became a protector and someone that we have like a lot of affection for. And you know, he's made out of wood and it rains a lot here. So his face fell off at one point. And we were all devastated. And that we fixed him and he's okay now. But yeah, he it's a good thing.
Oh, his poor face fell
I
off.
know, it
That's hard. That's hard. But yeah, I thought that was a like a great little ritual. And I just moved actually, so I was like, oh, this is so cute. I might do this. But I loved how crafty it was. I loved how hands-on it was. And I keep thinking that, especially right now with so many kids at home and so many parents at home with their kids, it'll be a great way for like parents and kids to do stuff together because the book is something adults can read and enjoy. Oh, okay. You know what? I think it's time for us all to take a little break. I'm going to put on some music and you guys can dance or sing or just shake out your limbs or run to the bathroom or whatever. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with Nikki. That song was called Chasing Balloons by Lionel Casio, and I will make sure to put the link to it in the description for this podcast so that you can download a copy for yourself to listen on your own. You know, how are some ways that parents can start kind of getting their kids involved outside of the holidays, which is really my recommendation? that's the best recommendation. But outside of that, how are some ways that parents can start bringing their kids into their practice?
Well, you know, one thing that we like, you know, outside of the holidays, we like to create rituals pretty often. So my daughter, Miley, really loves making smudge sticks.
Cool.
And she'll just wildcraft them from whatever is around here. And what, you know, so we actually just got a dog. And that's been very exciting. And we wanted to make sure that we were calling in, you know, the right dog for us. When I was growing up, we had a bunch of like really terrible dogs.
Oh, that sucks.
And so I've resisted getting a dog for a very long time because I was like, you don't know. Sometimes they're, you know,
they're not this like where the magic comes in.
Yeah. Right. So we, you know, we crafted, you know, a ritual around calling in the right dog for her. And, you know, a lot of people have been adopting dogs right now. We caved for good reason. You know, it's where, you know, it's just my husband, my daughter, and me in this house. And she's pretty lonely.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is a really, you know, not necessarily the dog part, that's for every family to decide on their own, but that you can ask for what you need and create a way of, you know, like it's manifestation, but it's more magical than just imagining it if you do a ritual. And I think the word ritual sounds kind of scary to people. People are imagining like blood sacrifice or whatever. And what we do is we just talk freely. I'm not very good about reciting spells. For me, it feels awkward.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. And a lot of witches love it. And I think that's fantastic. For me, it feels, I feel like I have to look at it or memorize it and I get anxious and I say the wrong thing. And then I just feel like it just puts too much pressure on the whole situation. So instead we have a little rock that we've set aside as kind of our altar rock, and we'll light a smudge stick. We'll light some candles. We'll, you know, maybe Miley will almost certainly have created a potion for the purpose, which will involve essential oils and, you know, water and some herbs.
Love it.
And then, you know, so I like to invoke all of the elements when I'm doing a spell. So, you know, Miley's potion will stand for water. Our breath will stand for air. The smudge stick or the candle will stand for fire. And then, you know, we frequently, you know, we're working on a rock, but we may sprinkle some dirt on it as well. And I just think that that's a really empowering way to deal with this very emotional situation that we're all in.
Yeah.
You know, we don't feel like we have any control and we don't have any control. And it's not that magic gives you an illusion of control, because it doesn't, but it allows you to really consider what it is that you want to bring forth and then to participate in that in some way. And I that's what I like about it, I guess.
Yeah. And that's such a like a great simple way to bring kids.
Sorry, I felt like it was a really rambling way.
But it's all, you know, it's very simple actions. We're burning the herbs. We've got a little potion. We take some time to focus on what it is that we want. And we, you know, put that out there. I think that's something that kids can kind of understand, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard. I'm laughing about the spells.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I don't like to say it out loud. I love reading them. They're beautiful.
Sure.
But I don't
They're
say
beautiful.
It out loud. Yeah.
But I get subconscious. I think it's also really hard for kids to talk about what they want.
Yeah.
you know, if it's candy, it's easy enough. But, you know, in something more complicated, it's hard for them to figure out what they're feeling. It's hard for them to figure out how to manage challenging emotions. And I think that ritual and crafting and, you know, just witchcraft are a way to kind of give them a framework to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your book is very, like it's very self-focused for children, which I thought was very cool. There's lots of focus on fulfilling your own dreams and, you know, self-empowerment and healing yourself. And I feel like a lot of kids just aren't told that they can focus on themselves that much.
Yeah.
Focus on what they need and what they want. And I thought that was very, like, what a cool vibe to find in a book for kids.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of take some of the empowering things that I'd learned from my spiritual work and offer it to kids and just be like, this is available for you.
This is here if you need it. Yeah. I really like the entire, like just the energy of the book for a book for kids. It's so different from what I read when I was younger.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad. This feels really good. I'm getting like it's about to come out feeling.
Yeah. It's, what is it? June 2nd that it comes
out? Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be out pretty soon. But I think it's going to do really well. And it's a beautiful book. It's very visual and vivid and creative, like your other books as well.
Thank you. I can't actually take any credit for that. That's all. That's all my publisher and the amazing illustrators. So
they really do find like amazing illustrators because your other two books are a different artist and they're all just really, really beautiful.
They do. I feel so lucky.
It's so pretty. Yeah.
That's what my editor and we're always just like, oh, look at the pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at all the colors. Yeah. I was, when I first got them in the box, I was like, ooh, I'm going to like that. Like I just really enjoyed, I really enjoyed the very creative and like artsy aspect of them. So I also wanted to ask you a little bit about Wellness Witch, which came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
And people have been asking me a lot about Wellness Witch because I posted a picture of it. And I've been thinking about it a lot just because, you know, we're all kind of stuck inside.
Yeah.
And we really do have time for self-care, for caring for ourselves. What are some, like, what is the difference between kind of regular self-care and magical self-care?
Well, you could do every single thing that's in Wellness Witch, and it would just be regular self-care and not magical self-care if you chose to make it so. Because the only difference is what we make of it, right? You know, and it's kind of like when, you know, how we were talking about sparks don't fly out of our fingers. Magic is what we decide it is. And I've decided that for me, magic is the energy and the love and the intention that I put into something. You know, whether that's the dinner that I'm cooking for my family or, you know, the soil that I'm turning for my garden, which is not that successful.
Gardening's hard. Don't feel bad. Oh, gardening's hard.
I'm learning a lot. And even like a conversation that I'm having with my friends, you know, that those, for me, all of those things are magic. And for someone else, they wouldn't be necessarily. Because magic is about choice and intention. And I choose to believe in my own power, which we all have, by calling it magic and leaning into that. And I think for me it makes things more effective. If I've made myself a bath with bath salts and herbs and I've lit the candles and I've done all that, You know, is that different from someone else's, you know, bath? Probably not on the surface, but for me it is, because I'm invoking, you know, the goddess Yamaya, or the just the healing power of water.
Yeah, it's that intention that you put into it.
Exactly. So I guess that's a complicated way of saying yes and no at the same time.
Well, a lot of wellness witches is how you can create things like baths and teas and things like that to, you know, help you be well, to improve your health, to improve your sleep, to what have you. How did you get started creating all of these? And I completely forget the word that you used earlier that was so perfect.
Oh, remedies?
All of these remedies. Yes. Yeah. All of these natural remedies. How did you get started creating some of these natural remedies and working them into your intentional practice?
Oh, I think I only started doing it a few years ago. It was before I started writing Wellness Witch, and actually Wellness Witch came because I was like, I love everything about this. This so is what I want.
Gotta get it all out.
Yeah. I wanted to, I think maybe the first one was when I couldn't get any Vicks Vapor Rub.
It's an emergency.
It's an emergency. When I was a kid, my mom would rub Vicks on my chest when I had a cold. And I have such a powerful association with that. Like, Vicks is the healing. And let's be honest, the healing came from my mom rubbing it on my chest. It wasn't Vicks.
Yeah.
But that scent and that comfort, I always felt like that was gonna make me well, and it did every time. And so my daughter got sick and there wasn't any Vicks Vapor Rub. And I was like, this cannot stand.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? And I looked up how to make a eucalyptus chest balm. And I was like, wow, it's actually really easy. My first batch was just, you know, eucalyptus essential oil and olive oil. And I was like, good luck. There we go. You know, then I was like, how deep can you go? And you can making your own herbal oil by steeping eucalyptus leaves is actually incredibly easy. And, you know, it takes some time, but then you've put so much more into it because you've gone and you've foraged the leaves and you've gotten their oils all over your fingers. And then you've filled the jar and you've let the jar sit in the sunshine and you've checked on it, you know, continuing to give it your love and attention. And then when it's ready, you know, it for me, the more work that goes into something, the better.
Well, it's energy poured in for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And it, for me, that's really fun.
Okay, friends, we've got to take another little break here. And unfortunately, this is not another music break, but what it is a break for me to share a little bit about my sponsors for the show. All of the sponsors I have for the show are ones that I truly believe in and that I'm excited to share with you guys. Plus, making commercials is so much fun. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more from Nikki talking about making natural remedies. Over the last 3 years, I've shared a lot about my ongoing journey to better mental health, and I get messages all the time from listeners who are also struggling and looking for someone to talk to. Unfortunately, it can be very difficult to find therapy that is fully accessible, financially or otherwise. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is an online service that can connect you with real licensed counselors who can be available on your schedule and right where you are. With 4 different ways to communicate and a wide range of specialties, there's a good chance you can find someone perfect for you, all without leaving home. Everything is confidential, and if you ever feel like your counselor isn't the right fit for you, you can switch right away. Not only is the service really affordable compared to in-person therapy, they also offer financial aid for those who need it. It's okay to need help. You deserve to get better, and you can start that journey at betterhelp.com/fatfeministwitch and save 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp.com/fatfeministwitch.
Wild Magic grew out of a fascination for herbalism, a love of witchcraft, and a passion for creating natural, chemical-free products that honor our bodies and the earth. All items are handmade by Clarissa Camp with you and Mother Earth in mind. Made with love, purpose, and a sprinkle of magic, we craft intentional products for mindful witches who have a profound relationship with the planet. Our ritual bath salts and sprays are crafted with herbal and mineral ingredients to support your magical intentions, cleanse your sacred space, provide protective barriers, or just bring a beautiful chemical-free scent to your body or your home. So visit our website to learn more and check out our herbal-infused body butters, lip balms, and healing salves, because right now listeners of the Fat Feminist Witch podcast can get 20% off by going to thewildmagic.com/fatfeministwitch and entering promo code FATFEMWITCH20 at checkout.
I started making my own shampoo for the household, and my husband was like, wow, this is the best shampoo I've ever had. And I'm like, that's awesome. All it is tea and somebody else's soap. And it's not that hard. But and none of this is that difficult. I made it sound, you know, like the herbal oil is a lot of work. And it's not. The effort comes in like maybe 30 minutes of, you know, foraging. And then a month later, maybe, you know, 30 more minutes to make it into a balm, if that right. long, to be honest.
It's more like time. Like, you have to keep your interest in it.
Yes.
Than it is actual, like, work to put it. Because it really is, like, remarkably easy. A lot of the things in Wellness Witch are so, so easy to do.
They're so easy.
Yeah, like, and that's like, a compliment, because it's just... I love remedies and things, but often I look up, you know, oh, how can I do this? And it's just a list of a million things I don't have and can't get a hold of.
Some
of and pages and pages and pages of instructions. Yeah. So I was pretty excited to see things so easily laid out, so like simple to do for myself. And I really appreciated how like approachable everything in the book really was. Even kombucha sounded like a lot more simple than I had previously believed.
It's not that bad. The SCOBY's kind of weird, but you get to like it.
Right. Like it's going to be weird the first couple of times, but after that you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that's okay. New things are supposed to be kind of weird.
Well, I think the ease of the recipes partly came because I don't have access to a lot of weird ingredients. We live out in the boonies, and that's great, and I love it, but it's not like I can go to a true magic shop or, you know, go get some of these more challenging things. And so I found that it's actually not, again, good news. Magic is about intention, so you can kind of make anything work for you. But I'm a huge fan of essential oils. There we go. I have, you know, I needed to bring this, you know, this plant, this, you know, plant energy into this spell. They're all available. And I can't say this again. I do not plunk down very much money for my essential oils. I'm not going to eat them.
I love essential oils. Yeah. Like if you shop around good enough, you can find tons of really cool essential oils for not a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't.
I also love essential oils. I love smells.
Right. Well, aromatherapy is, I think, the quickest kind of healing that there is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's instantaneous. Like, smells bring just so much out of you. Like, even if it's not memories, it's like feelings right away.
Yeah, so exactly.
I love smells and essential oils. Something really neat about Wellness Witch is it's kind of divided into three parts. So we have, you know, the wellness of the internal and wellness external, and then you have wellness of home and your home environment. And what a cool thing to include especially right now, I think that this is a thing, you know, that people might be noticing. Maybe their home doesn't feel the way they want it to feel. How can people start to tell if they're, you know, if their home needs a wellness check or maybe a checkup or an update? How can people start to kind of make that vibe at home a little bit better, especially now?
I think, quarantine aside, I think we've all hit points where we're like, I don't want to be here. And that's for me, that's such a difficult thing because my home has to be my sanctuary. I have to be able to feel at peace here. And, you know, sometimes the answer is I haven't cleaned in a while and I better.
Yeah, that's my problem.
That definitely is part of it.
But
sometimes, even when my house is really clean, something doesn't feel right. And we had a chair that it was an extremely comfortable chair, but I just had bad associations with it. And it was ridiculous. It was a very, very nice chair. It was very comfortable. We'd had it for a long time. And I was like, I just don't like it. And we got rid of the chair finally. And my husband was like, this is all right. This is what we're doing, apparently.
Yeah.
And it really made a difference.
Yeah.
And the chair went to a good home by somebody who didn't have bad associations with it. We didn't throw it out or anything. And I really think those things matter. And because if you have some sense of obligation tied into your home, or you just don't like that painting that your aunt gave you, you don't have to hang it.
You don't have to hang it up. Yeah. Go back away.
Go away. It's all right. And now those are all very sort of, Those are more external issues. There are internal issues that are likely to crop up, during quarantine particularly. So if you've cleaned your house and you've done a furniture and an art check and you're still like, no, all of this is fine, then it might be because there's some stagnant energy built up. Since we're all locked inside, that's no surprise.
That's right. It's getting pumped out at a much greater rate right now.
And there, the fact is, there's not a lot we can do to change that. You know, there's only so much meditating that you can do, and there's only so much, you know, like the home yoga, you know, that can really fix this. There isn't any fixing it. So I think it's a really good idea to do a home cleansing. Normally, I would do it just like once or twice a year. These days, it's happening way more often. And that can, there are lots of different ways. A lot of people really like smudging. You can wave some Palo Santo around. You can burn some incense. My husband has asthma, so that I really like doing that, but that's not going to fly in my house. So I'll instead, again, aromatherapy is really important. So I'll burn some essential oil, and that doesn't bother the asthma. Crystals are also a really good idea. I normally use crystals. I keep them at my desk. I keep a handful of certain crystals that are just my favorites. And whenever I'm feeling like I can't stay focused, I'll just hold one of them. Or if I'm on a really irritating phone call, I'll hold another one. It'll help me through.
Okay, friends, it's time for another music break. This is another song by Lionel Casio, and this one's called Night Sky.
You're the night sky, trying to make me see your stars. The dark gets lonely, now I see violet, I can feel silent. sound. I'll find valid in your eyes. You'll always be my night sky.
Right, welcome back. I really hope you enjoyed that music by Lionel Casio. I've become a pretty big fan of his, and I just realized the music during my Wild Magic ad, which you heard earlier, is also created by Lionel Casio. So I hope you guys check out that music a little bit later on your own time. For now, let's get back to our interview with Nikki as she continues to talk about crystals and this time talks about making a whole house crystal grid.
You can create a crystal grid that can, if you do it in the center of your home, it can radiate from there. That'll kind of cleanse the whole thing. I think it's in Wellness Witch where I have, or it might be in Junior Witch, where I have a crystal grid that's the whole house.
I was actually just looking. I was trying to see which one it is. I believe that is in the Junior Witch's Handbook.
Yeah, that was that was based on something my daughter did, where she just went all over. And I was like, wow, I'm going to step on these. But as long as we know that they're there, this is actually really cool.
That's really neat. Super cool. Like, how big was this?
Our house is luckily not that big, but it was all over downstairs, up to upstairs. It was a lot.
Cool. That must have taken her forever. That is so cool.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just really good for right now. I mean,
yeah,
if you've got kids at home, get them involved. And then kind of, There's a kind of scavenger hunt quality to it that I'm really into also. Like, what is the right, you're going to have to probably use every crystal you own. I think we threw in some shells and rocks.
Oh, I love that. I love doing that with my crystal grids. Like, okay, I have feathers now. I'm out of crystal. Right.
Apparently I'm adding some flowers.
Yeah. They work.
Which is great. So we would walk around and be like, what is the right crystal for this spot? And like essentially like herbs, like anything else, you know, crystals have these meanings that we have, you know, determined. But I also find that sometimes a certain crystal will mean something different to me at that moment than it, you know, is supposed to in the book. So I would say, yeah, lean into your intuition, lean into your kids' intuition. They know a lot.
I love talking about crystals with kids. That was actually one of my favorite things about working in a witchy shop that sold crystals is when kids would come in. The way they pick crystals and like how amazingly intuitive their choices are just really, really cool. And like asking the kid, why'd you pick that? What do you think this stone means? And they'll tell you, even if it's different from the book, it's always so interesting how they see and interpret like crystals. And they turned me into a crystal fan. Honestly, kids are so cool about it.
Right. That was when I loved crystals. There was a nature shop that had, you know, the bins of crystals, and oh my God, I think my parents let me buy one of those little bags once, and I must have spent an hour choosing what would go in the little bag.
Yeah, that was also, I have a similar experience. It was like, I picked out the very perfect one that I wanted. I don't know why it was perfect, but it is. Yeah, that kid's intuition is really neat.
Yeah.
I think that was all of the actual like prepared questions that I had. Is there anything that you want to say about the Junior Witches Handbook or that you want people to get out of it, what you want people to take from it?
I guess I've been thinking a lot about, you know, who's going to buy this book, right? Like how many kids are going to be drawn to it, but also for a kid's book, you are always considering the parent. And so I feel like there are probably going to be, you know, some books that are purchased by, you know, parents or, you know, friends of the family or whatever who are practicing or who are certainly, you know, open. But then there are going to be, you know, some kids who are like, wow, I'm really into that. And the parents are gonna be like, really? And I would say, what I want to say is that these books are about allowing for the possibility of magic. I remember when my stepdaughter was little and she loved fairies more than anything. And she was extremely literal about it. And I, to be honest, I like to think about that too. and she, you know, I remember she would ask me directly, like, do you believe in fairies? And I would say, I like to believe in fairies.
Yeah.
And as she got older, that answer became less and less acceptable.
Listen,
I feel like that's a touch.
You're cheating.
Yeah. But it's not. It's not a dodge for me. I do like to believe in fairies. I do like to believe in magic, and your kids get to like to believe in it too. And right now, with everything being so difficult, let's have that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much like fun and creativity and also like, you know, healing some of the difficult emotions that kids deal with in the book. And I think that just kind of, you know, it hits all of the check marks of what kids might be needing right now. You know, all of that empowerment and that something to do with their intuition and their minds and their hands.
Yeah. Yes.
Gets them a little
They're
busy.
Really doing something to do with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my, poor kids. I really do feel bad for small children right now. They all miss school. I'm sure.
They're so lonely. They're just so
Yeah. Lonely. My nephew is also an only child. He's a little bit older, right? He's 13. He's also an only child. And I truly, like, just feel so bad for him. He's alone so much, or just inside, you know, not with his friends.
Yeah. I mean, we're incredibly lucky, but it's just difficult.
Yeah. And it's a weird time.
It's a weird time. I'm trying to find that, well... I don't think there's anything positive that I can say about, you know, an illness that is harming so many people, you know, in so many different ways, economically and and physically, and people are dying. It's one of those where it's really kind of hard to look for the bright side and the growth. Right.
There's not a lot of silver lining in there.
No. But I am one thing that parents can try to do, and that I am trying to keep in mind. You know, again, you know, we're all healthy. We're fine. We're incredibly, you know, privileged in that way. I'm trying to think about what impact this will have on her. And at first I was, you know, I was catastrophizing. She's going to be stunted emotionally. She's going to lose all social, you know, socializing that she's learned, and, you know, all of this. And now I'm trying to be like, well, actually, what is this time of reflection and growth going to be for her? And that is by no means a silver lining, but yeah. I would definitely prefer that this not be happening. But rather than catastrophizing, I'm trying to just, you know, see maybe there will be something that can come on the other side of it.
Yeah. Something that she can have afterwards that she learned, or that she, you know, created, or something that can, you know, help her move on and have a good life beyond all this. I'm trying to stay super positive, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be over soon, you know?
I know.
Like, my sister and I drove by the beach and just, like, pretended that there's no fence there, you know, blocking it all off. Depressing. And we're like, it's going to be so great. We're going to get new bathing suits. And, you know, just hoping for the best. So I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to find some way to make sure something positive comes out of the end of this, like, difficult, challenging time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's all we can do.
Right. Luckily, the book is super full of really, really fun and also really like deep and empowering things that kids can be doing right now. I loved it. I'm just so shocked about how much I liked this kid's book. I was like, ages 8 to 12, but I like this.
So happy to hear this. That's great.
Like, oh no, does that mean my practice is for kids? I think it's just fun stuff. So thank you so much, Nikki. It's truly been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm really excited for the Junior Witch's Handbook, which comes out June 2nd for everyone listening. I can't wait to see how it does, and, you know, how it affects all of our little baby witches out there growing during this weird little time.
They need as much support as they can get.
Right. Right.
Well, thank you so much. I had such a good time talking to you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you so much, so, so much to Nikki Vandekar for coming on the show today and talking to all of us about wellness and witchcraft and empowering kids with magic. I love the idea of practicing your magic or your spirituality with the whole family. So here's a message for you parents, for you older siblings, older friends. If you are a practicing witch, or if you have a spiritual practice that you find is really, really helping you out, especially right now when everything's just a little bit more difficult, I really encourage you to share it with some of the younger people in your life. As this book shows, real magic totally is for kids. As if there was any doubt. So share that with them. Share your spiritual practice. Share the magic that you see in your life and in the world around you. Thank you also to all of you for listening today. This was a super fun episode. It was definitely a little different from what I regularly do, but I like that. I like being able to talk about something totally new and totally different. Although my show is regularly made just for adults, and we cover some very adult themes and ideas in all the episodes, I'm really happy that I got to do an episode for all ages, for families, for kids now. And I really hope that in the future, I'll be able to do more episodes for you and include you more in the world of magic and witchcraft. And if and when I do, I hope that you will join me again here on the Fat Feminist Witch. If you or anyone you know wants to learn more about the Fat Feminist Witch podcast, what I do, the books that I write, or how you can get yourself a copy of the Junior Witch's Handbook, you can find all of that at www.thefatfeministwitch.com. If you would like to support the show, because this show is completely supported by wonderful listeners and advertisers just like you guys, you can do that by going to my website. You can click the button that says Buy Me a Coffee. You can also join a private monthly membership group through patreon.com/thefatfeministwitch. Or if you have a really cool witchy product or service that you think my audience would like, you can go to advertisecast.com/thefatfeministwitch to see pricing and plans. Thank you so much for joining me today on my very last episode of the month of May. I have a lot of great episodes coming up, including an interview with Gabriella Hurstick about her book Bewitching the Elements. Now that will be a more adult-oriented episode. Sorry, kids, but like I said, I hope to have more guests in the future that can share magic with you. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful weekend, and a really great rest of the month as you explore magic on your own or as a family.